Pseudopod, episode 110, October 3rd, 2008. This week's story, Sperling's Virus by Michael Savastorno. Hi, welcome to Pseudopod, the weekly horror podcast. I'm Alistair, your host, and this week's story comes to us from Michael Savastorno. It's Michael's first appearance here, although the story itself previously appeared in Dread, whilst Bilroy 5, a story set in the same universe, is featured in the Forbidden Speculation anthology. Your reader this week is the one, the only, Mr. Benjamin Phillips. So check your clean suit, check it again, and seal your gloves. Because I have a story for you, and I promise you, it's true.
Sperling's Virus by Michael Savastorno. A tiny slit in the yellow protective suit killed her. Ridley Means slammed down the quarantine lever, locking the room that would soon become Joella Henney's tomb. Pale blue warning lights flashed. Joella swerved toward the window and peered with panicked eyes. Her head darted to each side, inspecting her body, arms outstretched. She won't see it. You never see the one that gets you. She charged toward Ridley. The coiled air hose straightened behind her. Her gloved hands laid flat against the glass. She mouthed something. It looked like, please. Means's bottom lip quivered as he stumbled toward the glass. He lowered his head and hoped she would go quickly. A line of blood rolled from her left nostril. It's already started. She smacked the window with both palms. A gruff voice blared over the speaker. What's going on, Means? It's Joella. She's infected. The comms speaker hissed. Sperlings? Yeah. Joella spat a mouthful of dark blood onto her face shield. It splattered and covered her face. Means could still see her eyes. The pupils had dilated, leaving only a tiny ring of blue surrounding empty black holes. What's the damage? I'm shutting down Lab 5B. It's confined to the work area. There's no need to... It's protocol. Until we get a virus sweep, just sit tight. He didn't want to watch it happen, but he couldn't pull his eyes away. He rested his hand opposite hers while she pounded the glass. Joella bent forward and ripped the headgear from her shoulders. Her long bronze hair sprayed in the air as she flung herself into the glass. She screamed. Her face tightened into a distorted grimace. Circles formed under her eyes, first purple, then black. Blood vessels burst all over her face. Black ooze leaked between her lips. A dark web of veins filled the whites of her eyes and tinged them red. Means' stomach churned. He swallowed hard and tried to control his deep, uneven breaths. Her shrills weakened his knees. She hurled both gloves at the glass. One temporarily stuck and slithered to the floor, leaving a streak of blood behind. Purple and black hue covered her face and hands. It resembled a series of growing bruises from a vicious beating by an invisible assailant. Her body tipped back and fell to the floor. It's almost over. The body that squirmed no longer belonged to Joella. Within another minute, she stopped moving. Means panted, Barton, get me the hell out of here! His chest heaved, the air smelled and felt like death. It's almost time, buddy. The scanning guys are on it. Means waited. His ass ached from sitting on the hard, cool, tiled floor. Barton, what's going on up there? A slight hesitation. I got some bad news. What? Means guessed. It breached, didn't it? The scans are showing Sperling's virus all over the bottom deck of the station. It's all over the room you're in, Ridley. Means' muscles turned rigid. He slowly moved his spine away from the console he had been leaning on and raised his body with the gentlest of motions. He scanned the suit for any crack, scratch, or rip. His chest tingled. Beads of sweat ran from his temples to the lining of his jaw. He'd spent the last year searching for the cure to the virus that the Sperling creatures carried. Now the dream of getting to the planet's surface slipped away. Instead, it seemed the virus would find him. "Take the lock off the lab door." I don't know if I can do that. We're having all kinds of problems getting systems back down there. Come on, Barton. Give me a damn chance to make it out of here. Where are you going to go from there? Elevators are down and protocol won't allow for a restart. Means toddled to the doorway like the floor was built with eggshells. "Get me to decontamination room 7, near the docking port." The speaker hissed and crackled. "They'll never let you back on the company's ships, or into the Caldera's surface bases. So as far as anyone's concerned, I'm a dead man?" Barton sighed. "You're gonna have to give me some time on those locks." "Don't take too long." Means switched the radio connection over to a comm. He handled the palm-sized communicator like a serrated blade. Means gazed past the blood-streaked glass and across the lab. The extra air cans reflected the ceiling's lights into his eyes. "I gotta get some air first." He swiped his hand over the sensor, and the glass slid open with a loud hiss. Means filled his lungs before detaching his lifeline. He stepped by the corpse and released the lever to open the air tank case. Cool air streamed down his throat and replenished the oxygen in his lungs. It tasted like plastic. His body perked. Most of Joella's skin had slid off the right side of her face. Her blood seeped toward his rubber boots, as if the virus had decided to chase him. Means stepped back to his console. "Barton, you aren't screwing with me, are you? Just having me sit back and wait until the admins decide to cut off my life support?" "What? How long have we known each other?" "A long time. Have I ever lied to you?" Means thought for a moment. "Only when a woman was involved." "That doesn't count." The two shared a brief moment of levity. Means felt like thanking him, but didn't. "You think it's my fault, don't you?"
"What?"
"You know what.
Joella.
It's my responsibility to inspect her suit before she gets in the work area. You think I missed it?"
"Nobody is blaming. I cared about her. More than just an associate or some girl I was after."
His face itched. He wished he had shaved this morning.
"That suit was fine moments before I saw the rip."
Barton didn't respond. Means reflected on how fast he hit the quarantine switch. Not a second thought, just what they programmed him to do. Last night, she had dressed for dinner in his living quarters. She'd covered the side of her breast while slipping on the overgown. A purposeful misplacement of her long, slender fingers revealed a pink nipple beneath. She eyed him and blushed with a grin that gave him butterflies. His libido screamed to grab her, pull her close, and feel the heat from her naked skin. However, the little slip was just a signal, not an invitation. They talked over dinner. She talked about work, about the Spurling, and the creatures whose bodies served as the virus's host. She talked about the dead ones, and the ones they kill to find the answer. He'd hung on each of her words. That vision of her face stayed with him. He stared at her decaying body.
"Means?"
"I'm here.
I can get the door open, but I need you to keep the communication lines open. There are a few more locked doors on the path to the transporter."
"Can do."
"Just a warning, there were 26 people on the floor when the virus breached. They weren't wearing any protection suits, and we haven't been able to contact them. There'll be some tough sights on the way."
"I know." The door slid open. A dark hallway led to a fork. Long black tubes stretched across the ceiling and then bent right. Means paced over the grated flooring and recognized the plumbing below through circular holes. His suit produced squishing sounds with each step. He winced as he imagined the bugs ripping through his protective gear. Just out of the shadows, Means' knee bumped a body crouched in the corner.
"Means?"
"Yeah, I just found someone."
"Who is it?"
"I don't know." Long brown hair covered the sides of the woman's face, arms blackened from the virus. He could hear blood dripping through the floor onto the pipes below. Tick, tick, tick. Means wanted to check the face, but realized identifying her would prove fruitless. "How many times has Spurling's virus breached containment?"
7 in 4 months. This one's the first time it made it into separate rooms. All the others were confined."
"That's way above average, don't you think?"
"I guess."
He passed a transparency in the station's hull. The admin's ship floated near the docking station like a curious child afraid to touch its own chemistry experiment. It was easily recognizable from the round underbelly that now reflected white from the Caldera sun. means it always thought it unnecessarily large for its purpose, as if the admins wanted to project their authority through sheer size. Means stepped through an archway. The hallway opened into a horseshoe-shaped space. Three doors faced him. Why the Spurling? Why so many breaches? Don't know, Barton stuttered, sounding uneasy with the questions. I really don't know. Means stood in front of the middle door. This would be the easiest route. Which door should I try? I'll never get that main hallway open, so you're going to have to go through Lab 3, the door on your right. It'll probably be a hairy scene. He paused. I'm working on that lock now. Do they know how the virus got out of the lab today? They think Joella's life support module leaked into the ventilation system. Means whispered, how sneaky. What was that? Nothing. Barton said, hey, I just want you to know. No matter how this turns out, the work you did was important. You know the Bendy admins plan on sending an entire human army to Caldera to wipe out the Spurling if these experiments don't work. Impossible. It'd take too long and would cause massive casualties. Human life means nothing to them. And they're patient. You know a lot about these fucking aliens, I guess. You know... Oh, I got it. The lab door slid open. A dark shadow emerged and collapsed onto Means's chest. Means grunted as his ass hit the floor. The figure stuck to him, motionless. Means? Means! He barely heard Barton's voice over his own labored breathing and pounding heartbeat. It's all right. It's just another body. Must have been huddled at the door, trying to get out. He pushed the corpse to the side. It felt like a bag of jelly. How's your suit? He didn't even want to think about it. We'll find out in a minute. His chest, streaked with blood, jumped up and down. He waited for it to slow before rising. He remembered the report for Spurling's virus's first human victim. His name was Jason Cabral. Cabral had said, I think there's something in my suit. It feels like bugs crawling all over my skin. Those words resonated. Feels like bugs. He sucked in another deep breath before entering the lab. Two more unfortunate souls slumped beside the doorway. A purple face stared at him, eyes wide open and accusatory. Blood covered the lab floor, a red waxy coating. Footprints, handprints, and broken glass littered throughout. A woman, naked from the waist up, curled in front of the exit. She must have been tearing at the skin of her shoulders. Means thought he could see bone through the mangled flesh, but ripped his eyes away. Talk to me, buddy. I feel faint. I'm working on that exit door. Make it quick. I think I can smell the decay. It was in his mind, but it felt real. Have you heard from the admins yet? No, but I'm sure they're planning on how to best dispose of the problem with the least responsibility placed on their shoulders. Yeah, well, I guess my final legacy will be that I killed 30 people by being careless. They'll be sure to put it on me. I know the truth, and you're not dead yet. Barton left the channel open. His breathing jumped unevenly. They weren't happy with your last report on the virus, I heard. Nope. They didn't want to know that there were no antibodies found in the Spurlings. They told me that it was impossible. But everything about this bug was impossible. It killed humans impossibly fast, it survived impossible conditions, and it broke containment an impossible number of times. Is Spurling's virus the last obstacle to allowing colonization on Caldera 7? Means thought for a moment. Not the last, but definitely the most important. I guess the settlers would be unhappy if they died within 5 minutes of stepping onto the surface. Barton's triad humor fell dead on Means' ears. How much longer? Almost done. Just restarting it now. The door opened. Darkness waited behind it. Broken glass, blood, and splayed bodies filled Means' path. He placed his left foot into a red puddle and paused before shifting his weight. When he knew he had a firm footing, he stretched his right leg over a Spurling victim. His foot hit the floor. All quiet. His rising pulse perked his senses. The hairs on the nape of his neck stood straight. You there yet? Barton's voice startled him. No. a soft crack.
Means lifted his boot. 3 pieces of glass lay shattered beneath him. He choked his breath down. The muscles in his face tightened. Arms flailed. Legs kicked. He threw his body backwards into the wall. The thin metal flexed and rung a metallic twang. Shit! He let the air escape his lungs.
I'm dead. I stepped on glass.
Take it easy. Check your boot. You're real close to the docking port. He looked down at the blood-covered sole of his boot. His hand shook as he wiped the red away. A centimeter-sized rip oozed blood like a thin set of smiling lips.
I'm dead.
A ferocious bang crackled as if the speaker couldn't handle the noise. Means waited to feel the bugs crawl on his skin, enter his mouth and nose, rip apart the thin membranes of his blood cells. He waited for blood to seep from his dying skin. He waited to die. He'd never see Earth again. He'd never work off his debts.
Means, you still out there? The boots have 2 layers on the soles. Don't give up hope yet.
Means stared into the flickering lights inside the laboratory.
It'll get in. It always does.
His skin tingled. The left side of his chest ached from his pounding heart. A minute passed.
Barton blurted, "You feel it?" "No. Nothing."
"I think you're okay."
Barton's voice jumped up an octave.
"I'm exposed, Barton. I can see the sole of my boot. The glass cut through. I should be dying."
"But you're not."
Means erected his shivering body, muscles so tight he could barely lift a boot from the floor. The blood on his boots had dried. With every step, a ripping sound echoed in the narrow walkway.
"I'm going for it. I'm almost to the dock. Dead or alive, I'm headed for Caldera.
The last hatch is locked. I can't restart the hatch door. I don't know what else I can do."
Means had come too far now. The words flowed around him like a soft wind. He wanted to see Caldera. A bubble window overlooked the docking station. Beyond it, open space. The mid-sized transporter lay silent, only a few meters from his touch, yet it felt millions of light years away. Against the backdrop of black space and stars, the western hemisphere of Caldera radiated an orange hue. Another voice vibrated the comm's speaker. It was an admin. The voice lisped and hissed, trying desperately to speak his language.
"Ridley, Minsha, this is Volker Valand. I would like to thank you on your service to company. We's a very..."
"What the hell are you talking about?"
"Thanks to you, we has discovered the antibody that will protect our human settlers from Sperling's virus."
A click resounded in Means' ears.
"What does that mean? Barton, what does that mean?"
"It's coursing through your veins." Barton's voice was even, emotionless. "You were given an experimental vaccine, and you developed the antibody."
"What? Please tell me this is not what I think it is."
Barton let out a long, disgusted sigh.
"I've got a family to think about. This is our last chance to get back to Earth." "They're not coming for me, are they?"
I wasn't going to tell you, but you know these admins, they're..."
Means hurled the comm. It shattered into a storm of plastic shards. He climbed into an empty spacewalk suit that swung from the hooks near the hatch. He sealed his helmet. He slammed his fist against the bubbled glass. Once, twice, and again with more force. He grunted and slid to the floor. Only a matter of time before they cut off life support. Means felt the artificial gravity disappear. His body floated, directionless. A disgruntled kick to the wall propelled him further down the hall, away from the hatch. His mind grasped for a possible escape. He had nothing, like an abandoned piece of trash. His back careened against a transparent piece of the station's hull. It shocked his spine and shoulder blades. He swerved his hovering body. Caldera's orange glow called to him, welcomed him. He flung himself back down the hall. His shoulders rubbed and bumped the flimsy walls as he kicked through the air. He followed the light back into the lab where the bodies of his fellow lab rats floated. Hovering droplets of blood collected on his face shield. A body drifted into his path. Means punched it. Blood spattered into the air and held together in globs that wobbled like oversized amoebas. His body burned and he frothed at the lips. He found a jar of green gel
and tucked it into the crux of his elbow. He swam back to the window and released the seal on the jar. It grew hot in his grasp as it interacted with the remaining oxygen. Means took another look at Caldera before he threw the contents of the jar over the window. It sizzled against the glass. Shit. Not enough oxygen to create an explosion. Means sucked in a deep breath, detached his oxygen tank, and released the air valve. A white cloud burst from the tank. He flailed his arms and legs as he pushed away. His sweat-covered body slipped around the inside shell of the suit. A single moment of silence, then the red flash, then the bang. The station quaked around him. A hot gust slammed his chest. He spun into the corner with a whiplash. Precious oxygen spewed from his lungs. A long crack started on his face shield as air tried to force its way into the empty vacuum around him. He entered the massive opening in the hull and pushed off into open space. He felt freed and imagined himself cruising into the blackness like a comet. He'd only stop when he hit the surface of Caldera. He grabbed the side of the transporter and flung his legs beneath the entrance door. He waved his hand in front of the sensor. Nothing. A red light flashed. His jaw tightened. He pounded the sensor until it fractured under the force. The spider web on his face shield grew. He could hear it cracking. The air in his lungs drained. So close, just on the other side of the door. Darkness closed in around him. He waved again. It slid open. Inside, he yanked the helmet from his head. Oxygen filled his lungs. He gasped and pulled the stale air into his body. He allowed for a few moments of rest, but Caldera called to him. I'm coming. He passed the Sperling cage. A 10x10 meter glass enclosure secured the motionless creatures. One of the three stood. Its usually green skin had turned pasty and gray. The snout's thick black hairs burst out as it howled. The glass cage vibrated. Don't worry. We don't need to cut you open anymore. I'm the important one now. He felt a sudden kinship with the tall, brooding creatures. I'm taking you home. Means skipped the transporter past the admin's ship and set a target for re-entry.
One of the first books I ever remember reading was The Andromeda Strain. It's dated a bit now, but the basic idea was so compelling, I've revisited that field a few times since. Alien life is real, and you need a microscope to see it. It's such an elegant concept, so completely grounded in contemporary science, the idea that the same concerns, the same basic laws apply out there as they do down here. After all, the Martians learned that lesson to their cost, so it only makes sense the door would swing both ways. Not long after that, I found the Sector General series by the late, great James White. Again, the idea is simple, and again, it's wonderful. A hospital designed to cater for any form of life, be it brontosaurus-sized or amphibian, insectile or tiny, oxygen or methane breather. If you've not tried them, it's definitely worth your time, although I can't help but wonder what this subgenre is called. Germ punk? Bacteria punk? Doctors in space, maybe? Regardless, Michael does a great job of exploring this, one of my favourite SF ideas here. Time to dust off the Sector General books again, I think. But before that, we rely on you to pay our authors, so if you like this story, please go to pseudopod.org and click on Feed the Pod. I promise you, you won't regret it, and we, and the authors in question, are all very, very grateful. Pseudopod is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. And Pseudopod wants to know, is this going to be a stand-up fight or just another bug hunt?